If you would open your Bibles to Psalm 116, passage that Paul just read for us, Psalm 116. A few months ago, one of the men here read this chapter in service, and I got a great blessing from it. And after I read it a few more times, I noticed something in it. And it can all be summed up by the first five words of the chapter. I love the Lord because. In the first nine verses of this chapter, the writer gives multiple reasons why he loves the Lord. And this evening, I want to look at these reasons, and I hope that we can identify each one. But I don't want to preach this portion of Scripture as if reciting a list. And I don't want to be talking about this man's feelings from thousands of years ago. Lord willing, I want to use this passage to tell you why this sinner loves the Lord. But I need to ask you a favor as well. Don't listen to this message and think of it simply as the writer's reasons to love the Lord, or even worse, my reasons to love the Lord. But listen to this passage and rejoice in these great things that the Lord has done for His children. Look at verse 1. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Now, I'm going to use an illustration, and I'm going to go back to it numerous times during this message. So, you need to listen to it if you want to keep up with it. And it would probably help if you visualized it a little bit. So, you have just woken up, and you're in a pit. Now, what's the first thing that you would do if you woke up and were in a pit? I think there's two options that you could do. Now, the first one is the one that I would do. I'm going to try to get out. I'm going to look around. I'm going to see if I can climb my way out, if I can see what's in the pit, make myself a ladder, make myself a roof, figure a way to get out of the pit. Now, I thought that was the only reaction. But when I asked that question to someone else, they said that's not what I would do. They decided they would do the second option. They'd start yelling. Now, I'm going to try to get out first. But the only reason that you or I will start yelling is because we honestly think I can't get out on my own. Now, you've seen it in a movie or a TV show where someone falls out of a boat into water. And they start flailing around and just, I can't swim! They start doing all this stuff. And then that awkward moment happens and they put their feet down and stand up and the water's to their waist. I don't want to take that risk. I'm going to see if I can get myself out first. So, after I figure that out, or I just start yelling, there's a lesson in this. You and I are not ever going to ask for help unless we think we can't help ourselves. We need to be shown our helplessness. But going a step further in that pit, it doesn't matter how loud you yell. It doesn't matter how long you yell, and it doesn't matter what you yell. It's going to do you no good unless someone hears your voice. Verse 1 there says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. The Lord hears His children. Now, my friends, don't be foolish and don't be naive enough to think you can save yourself. Don't just call upon the Lord in emergencies or when you think you need Him. And then also don't think He isn't hearing you because you don't get the answer you want. Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all them that call upon Him in truth." The Lord hears His sheep when they call His name. Now verse 2, "Because He hath inclined His ear unto me." Inclining your ear denotes your readiness to hear. It also shows that He will hear immediately. When you're listening for someone, you hear them. And again, just because they aren't answered doesn't mean He doesn't hear. And another thing about inclining His ear, the Lord, different than us when we're listening to someone, He understands what we're saying. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but when I am by myself and I'm praying or thinking, if I'm asking the Lord something, or if I'm asking for something, inevitably, I end up in a place where I'm not quite sure where I'm going or what I'm asking. Don't ever let that stop you from praying and asking the Lord, because He understands what you're saying. And then another thing that inclining your ear shows us is that He comes to hear us. Turn over a few chapters to Psalm 86. Inclining your ear shows that He's coming to us to hear. Psalm 86:1, this is using the same word here. "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." The Lord listens and inclines as a father to a child. If a child is talking to the father, the child cannot lift themselves up to that level. The father must come down and listen to the child. Now, the second part of this verse, "Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live." We need to pray in days of adversity, and we have plenty of them. We need to pray in days of prosperity. Every day we live, multiple times a day, we should pray to the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians it says, "Pray without ceasing." Never stop praying. Prayer is the first and last action of a spiritual life. And one last point about this. You do not incline your ear to someone unless they're speaking. The Lord will not incline His ear to you if you aren't talking. If you want to be encouraged, if you want to be heard, you have to pray. Now look at verse 3. "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." Now remember, we're still stuck in this pit. And did you know that we've been in the pit of sin our entire lives? And the pit is just so big, and we're so used to it, and actually we kind of like it, that we didn't even notice we were in a pit. It is such a blessing that the Lord shows us where we are and who we are. I heard, and many of you have heard this, a story about Brother Jack Shanks as a principal of school, and this woman came to him, wanted to talk to him about her son who'd been getting in a lot of trouble. And she went through a few things and then made the comment, "You know, I think he might just be running with the wrong crowd. And without missing a beat, Brother Shank said, "Ma'am, your son is the wrong crowd." That's true about all of us. Now, when I say I love the Lord because I found trouble and sorrow, you might think I'm not quite as excited about finding trouble and sorrow as you are, and that you'd rather have peace and prosperity with as little trouble as possible. And I agree with you on that. I do not want trouble and sorrow, but that's not the path of the child of God in this world. Turn to Romans chapter 5. A very familiar passage of Scripture, Romans 5. Verse 1 of Romans 5. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope on the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." This passage plainly tells us that tribulation is the way we get patience, experience, and hope. And it may be difficult to accept, but we think we can handle things on our own without God. And most of us can go a really long time without seeking the Lord when things are going pretty well for us. We need trouble and sorrow to make us seek the Lord. And I pray for you and me that the Lord would make us to seek Him with as little trouble and sorrow as possible, and that it doesn't take extra trouble and sorrow for us. But you know what scares me a whole lot more than trouble and sorrow? To live this life in prosperity and to slowly fall in love with the things of this world and drift away from the gospel. And because I found this trouble and sorrow, in verse 4, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." Trouble and sorrow make the believer call upon the Lord. I love the Lord because I've found trouble and sorrow. Verse 5, "Gracious is the Lord." When we call upon the Lord, we will find Him to be gracious. The Lord Jesus Christ is the author and the giver of all grace. 1 Peter 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Psalm 111, "He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." There's only one place that you will find grace, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the Lord because He's gracious. Next in that verse, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous." When we look to the Lord, we will find Him to be righteous. Psalm 145, 17, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works." Turn to Psalm 129 and we'll read the first four verses. The Lord is righteous. Psalm 129. "Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth," may Israel now say. "Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Many enemies have attacked the children of Israel, but the Lord has graciously delivered them. The Lord is righteous and not suffering His people to be ruined. He has promised to preserve a people to Himself. I love the Lord because He's righteous. And the last part of that verse 5, yea, our God is merciful. A couple passages, Psalm 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 117 there on the next page says, O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. And then in Deuteronomy 4, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which He sware unto them. I need His mercy, and I love the Lord, for He's merciful. In verse 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. This word simple could be changed to foolish. It could also be said as someone with a small degree of understanding. That describes me pretty well. Any complications in this life are never good. And if you want a simple life, the simplest life is one that simply seeks the Lord. The Lord will preserve the simple. He will preserve them from sin, from falling in it, from the snares of it, from the pollutions of this world, and from the temptations of Satan. And all this will be done through His Spirit, His power, His grace, delivering us safely to His kingdom and His glory. In Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Kids, you want to be smart? Pay attention to Todd when he preaches to you. Listen to your Sunday school teacher. And read this book. We are only wise when we simply follow Him. I love the Lord because He preserveth the simple. The second part of verse 6. I was brought low and He helped me. Turn to Psalm 88. Psalm 88. Psalm 88, 1. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before Thee. Let my prayer come before Thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of trouble, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more. And they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. I was brought low and He helped me. Now when we're in this pit, we're as low as we can be because He has brought us low. And do realize that if you're brought low, it's because you need to be there. But in this pit, we know that the Lord hears us cry out. And we know that He inclines His ear to us. But He also helps us. Now, there are plenty of people that might pass by this pit with me yelling And they would hear me, and they'd act like they didn't hear me. There's others who would hear me, and they'd look and see who it was, and they'd decide, I don't want to help him. And then there are more who would pass by and hear me and want to help me, but they couldn't. The only help from pit of sin is the Savior. I love the Lord because I was brought low and He's helped me. In verse 7, return unto the rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. I like this one. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. I deserve nothing. I have nothing of value to offer. I don't have anything I can trade or any part I can play. I have no skills to impress with, no way of improving myself. I have nothing but the sin that inhabits and consumes me. But with all of that said, this still holds true. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Or you could say He rewarded me. What have I done to deserve a reward? I've done nothing. It's Christ that's done it. In times past, even eternity, having loved me with an everlasting love, chosen me in Christ, made a covenant with me in Him, and made unto me exceeding great and precious promises. He provided a Redeemer and a Savior for me, whom He made known unto me, having enlightened, quickened, and converted me. He laid up good things for me to come, and has done many great things for me already, all which might serve to encourage my faith and my hope in Him. I love the Lord because He dealt bountifully with His children. Verse 8. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. We have no guarantees in this body for how long we will live. My wife is due to have our first child in less than 2 months. And I want nothing more here than to be there for her and my daughter. But I have no idea what lies ahead. There's no guarantee with this body. I may not live another day or another moment. But I do know that all the children of God will be delivered from eternal spiritual death through the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior, who died on the cross, bearing our sin, that we, His children, may have eternal life. I love the Lord because He's delivered my soul from death. Thou hast delivered mine eyes from tears. In the world we live, there are many causes for tears. There are many times of sadness, days of heartache, and mornings of grief. But when it comes to judgment day, those who are found in the Lord will have no cause for tears. There will be no more heartache and no more pain. I love the Lord because He has delivered mine eyes from tears. And the last part of verse 8, Thou hast delivered my feet from falling. As we walk our path on this earth, we stumble at every turn and we trip over every obstacle. Unable in ourselves to keep from falling into pit after pit. Turn with me to Jude 1. Jude, right before Revelation. This is a passage of Scripture that I remember Mike Bartram used to read to close our services numerous times when I was younger. Verse 24 of Jude 1. now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now, when we're in this pit, we know He hears us. We know He inclines His ear to us. We know He helps us. And as this verse tells us, He delivers us. In delivering us, there's no help from the person who's being delivered. It's not a team effort. He doesn't drop a rope down and you pull yourself up. He does it all. He reaches down and picks you up. I love the Lord because He has delivered my soul from death, delivered mine eyes from tears, and delivered my feet from falling. Now our last verse, verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now in reading about this verse, some of the writers said how this means that we should act and live in a just manner while on this earth. Though I completely agree that we should do that, that we should be an example for others, and that we should live as upright and justly as possible, and the way we act in this world and in public is a direct correlation to what we believe. But I want to look at this verse the same way we've looked at the previous 8. And all these reasons, they're all things that the Lord has done to or for me. And this is no different. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The elect of God shall behold the glory of the Lord and walk in His presence. We will enter into heavenly rest. Deliverance from sin and sorrow will be complete. And there will be delight that we cannot now in any way conceive. It will be greater than anything our imaginations could come up with. And as the Lord said to the thief, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now these are just a few of the infinite reasons to love the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's finish looking at Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Let's offer thanks.